Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration. Collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next guest is Noemi Weiss, and she's here to talk about her new film, her important new film, Connecting the Dots. If you're a documentary fan, you would know her name. She's an award-winning filmmaker. Milk might ring some bells. Back at Hot Docs a few years ago. This is a film that is a must-see. I think it's a must-see for policymakers, for politicians, for parents, for teachers and educators of all kinds. This is about a universal problem, as Noemi points out in the film. Actually, as the young people she films point out in this film, this is a film that it's about a crisis referred to as a global epidemic by some, and that is this mental health crisis that Noemi's so beautifully unpacks for us. And it sounds like it's going to be a real challenge to watch. And in some levels it is, but you know what? This is a film that is, it is rooted in hope. It is rooted in change. And, you know, as one of the protagonists of the film, she follows a young man by the name of Nathan Harmon who speaks up and speaks out and who wants to remind us that, you know, people really do change the world. This is a hashtag raise your hand. It's about the stigma around mental health issues. It's about relationships and social justice and our own responsibility. And so through a variety of very personal narratives, very personal visual diaries, we are allowed to see into some of these young people's lives. And listen, it's as a parent, and it's tough to watch to say, wow, is it really this bad? How did we get here? And that's what Noemi and I chat about, and we wind up talking about a film really that is all about relationships. And so, you know, it's the key message is, you know, you're not alone, your voice matters. It's about breaking the silence. It's about reaching out. I love the conversation we had, and I hope you do too. Look for the film. It's called Connecting the Dots. And there'll be lots of information on the website as well for you to find out more about that and about Nathan and about where this is going to go. And there's an impact campaign built around this film, and so much more going on than meets the eye here. So stay tuned, and don't forget, if you want a little bit more information about the work that I'm doing, you can do that at davidpecklive.com. You could purchase a copy of my book, Real Change is Incremental. I'd love it if you did that, and leave a review for it would be, you know, almost as good and probably better in some respects. And, you know, this is one of many, many interviews I've done over the last few years, and facetofacelive.ca. Check us out. Go to the website. This is probably 535. This is my 535th published interview. How crazy is that? And I'm still in love with it. And the people I get to meet, it's really quite remarkable. Please leave us a review if you're enjoying what we're doing here. You can do that on iTunes or Spotify, one of the usual suspects out there. It only takes a minute or two or less. And it's amazing what it can do for our numbers. So I would really appreciate it. And a big thanks. And I've been talking about a contest coming up, and there is one coming up. Believe me, something's going to happen in the not so distant future. So right after you've left the review, listen to our next conversation with Noemi Weiss talking about her important new film, Connecting the Dots. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest here with us today. We have a filmmaker, a writer, an author, producer, director, storyteller. Noemi Weiss is here today to talk about her new film, Connecting the Dots. Thanks for taking the time to join us here today on Face to Face.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, right out of the gate, I just want to say congratulations on the film, and I just recently watched it, and it's kind of, you know, Noemi, it's kind of hard to say that I enjoyed a film like this, if you know what I mean, but it's such an important document, if that makes sense, and I'm so thrilled that you made it. Can you tell me about in the press kit? I think it said there's nothing like this has been done before. And I found that really surprising, this emotional sort of plea almost.
There are a lot of films that have been made on mental health, of course. I think that what this film is different than others is that it's the first time that it's exclusively the voices of young people. My mission with the film has been all along that it's their voices, it's their stories that have to come forward and the ones that need to be listened to. So in that sense, you know, I try to avoid as much as possible to have any adults talk about them. Mm-hmm. And the conversation has to be with young people at the table because we have to hear from them. What needs to change and how do we make it better? And they are very smart, very eloquent. They know exactly what needs to happen. And we as a society really have to listen. And that was my mission. So that's the uniqueness of the film.
I find it interesting you say that we as a society need to listen, and maybe we should take a couple minutes just to talk about the film sort of big picture. But isn't that what Connecting the Dots is really all about? It's about becoming better listeners.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. I think that it's a call to action on please take a moment and just listen, because that has been what I have heard through all the process of research and making the film. Young people were saying, you know, that they need to be listened to, that that's what they want. They want to be part of the conversation. They want people to understand why they feel the way they feel. And I told them, you know, I'm going to tell your story, but it's your story, the one I'm going to tell. So it's your voice. And I think that we owe it to them because they are not well, and we need to recognize that.
Can you, while maybe you give us a little bit of an overview on the film, could you also unpack the phrase that one of the young women, I think, in the film says, nothing for us without us? And it's become a phrase that is being used sort of widely right now, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, et cetera. Can you talk a little bit about that and how important it is that for you to have represented these young people so well?
Thank you. I wanted to be as honest as possible, and I think that shows in the film. These are their voices, and these are their stories, and this is the way that I thought it would be a very good way of representing them. When I started, which what I call visual diaries, I invited young people from around the world to share with me their stories, either a raw moment, a vulnerable moment, or a call to action, what they wanted to see that we would change, that we would make it better. It was up to all of us to understand what they were going through. So that's one of the big messages of the film. We cannot talk about them without them. Mm-hmm. These young people are a generation that are very well informed. They are very different than any other generation. We cannot compare them to other generations because they grew up in an era of technology. Mm. They are very well versed in very many topics, and therefore their lives are very different, and they are growing up differently. And that's why it's so important that we would understand them, to be able to help them better.
You know, I'm a parent, and I've got kids who are as young as some of the kids and the young men and women who appear in your film. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to hear some of their stories, to see them on film. And yet your film is ultimately, you know, it's just wonderfully hopeful and delightful in a sense to see that, you know, and to hear it from you as the documentarian, as the filmmaker, to say, I really wanted to represent them, you know, I was going to say a positive light, because you do that, but you also open up this can of worms for us as viewers to say, now what? How can we best step in? What's our call to action, you know, coming out of a theater after watching a film like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to bring hope all along, because this is consider a hopeless generation, and media talks about the hopeless generation, and they do have a lot of issues with hope. And I thought it was important to bring hope to them, to let them know that they are not alone, that we are listening, that we don't take them for granted, that we don't think that it's just teenage angst that they are going through, that their problems are real. It doesn't matter how big or small they are, but that we care. And I put myself in a position of just telling their story, but also as an observer, very objectively, and thinking about the different audiences that will be watching this film, thinking about parents, thinking about educators, thinking about people in the mental health arenas and people who are working with them, and seeing what is it that they want. And of course, including policymakers and including people in that can make decisions and that can actually realize that this is a different generation. This is not what we are used to. We are not going to tell them what they need to do. We have to work together to recognize what is it that they are looking for and how can we help them to achieve that? Because I think that's where the change and the hope will come. A lot of the young people say, you know, they feel that they just want to be loved. And when you think about it, the normal reaction is, but we love them. Of course we love them. Well, they don't feel it. Show it to them. And show it to them means listening, taking the time, respecting their opinion as well. And I think that's key in the message of the film. And hope for me is you can't live life without hope. And I wanted to bring, you know, them back to life. If they were ever thinking that there was no hope, that there was no life for them, that there was no future, well, I try my best, you know, with visuals, with the way that I bring the story together to at least show the beauty of life, the beauty that is surrounding us from the world that we live in. Unfortunately, right now we are under COVID and we are, a lot of us are, you know, in isolation, and we don't see as much of the wonderful world around us as before, but I'm hoping that this will pass. And that I'm also hoping that because the society at large right now is feeling anxious more than ever before, is feeling some people depressed as well, they will be able to understand the young people better. They are not going to be so judgmental. And that's part of my hope as well, that we might be able to bring change a little bit easier than when I started working on this film 3 years ago.
So I'm wondering, how do you, you know, you talked about policymakers and teachers, that comes out in the film, and some of the young folks, they talk about, you know, the broken system and systemic violence and racism and, you know, breakdown, dysfunctional, all of those sort of sentiments about the way things are. How do you get through to somebody who hasn't experienced this kind of a mental health issue or challenge, or just doesn't see it? How do you shock somebody out of their complacency? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that it hopefully the voices of the young people and their stories are going to bring them to reflect And I'm hoping that there will be some reflection. I don't think that there's anyone who doesn't have any connection with the protagonists themselves, because if they are not parents, they have a nephew or a niece or a neighbor or a friend that has a child. Everybody knows someone in that age group and could relate to it. And if they don't have anyone in their lives, they have to become more aware of these young people, not just as looking at them as the future, but looking at them at the present.
Right.
I think that would be a way of reflecting and thinking, well, let's stop thinking about these kids. They are the future, but think about them as they are the present. This is their life right now. How do we make it better so the future will come better?
I wonder to what degree, you know, I mean, I don't think the young people talked a lot about, you know, their families. Some of them did, but one of the consistent messages, I mean, that comes out in the film, and I just think it's tragically beautiful, because I think it's affirming, and yet it's so, I guess, disappointing in a way to hear some of these stories, to think, wow, how did we get here? You know, and so some of these phrases like I want to feel valued, or trying to prove that I matter. I want to be heard. It's been a long time since I've been listened to, you know, just like, you know, very simple sort of phrases that and sentiments that are rooted in good relationships, it seems to me. So yeah, I mean, there's not really a question there, Naomi, but it's sort of embedded in the sense of, how did we get here? You know, how did it get so bad? Or has it always been this way?
I think that, you know, one of the big questions that I had when I started working on the film was, what have we created as a society to get here? Exactly what you're asking. And I think that we created a society that has been so busy being busy that has forgotten about the important things in life, like a smile, like a pat on the shoulder, like taking a moment and listening to a young person or understanding that person. And I think that we have to slow down a little bit. And I'm hoping that, you know, COVID, in a way, the good of adversity, if we can say it like this, is that it has given everybody a time to reflect in a lot of things that we did not have time before. Maybe more time with the family, people working from home and maybe paying more attention to their children, working together to do homework that maybe was something that had never been done before, understanding the anxieties that kids go through at school, what is causing them to be anxious at 7, 8, 9 years old, why? Are we protecting them too much? Are we not letting them be? Are we teaching them to be resilient? Are we maybe being too much parents, you know?
Right.
There's all kinds of reflections that I'm hoping that the film will bring conversation and illuminate the topic to a place that people will be able to talk about it. I think that everything that related to mental health, to any human rights films that I've been doing all along, they start by a conversation. And this is a call to say, let's talk about it.
Can I ask you a question about why do you care? You know, it always interests me when I meet somebody like you who's made, well, Milk, for instance, and these sort of groundbreaking, award-winning films that have shifted the conversation, have had a significant impact. You know, why are you making stories like this and not, you know, doing more lucrative films, for instance, right? It really does fascinate me. And I've talked to a lot of filmmakers, a lot of activists over the years, and I've asked this question a lot, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I feel that I have the medium. And if I have the medium, I have to use it properly in my vision.
Whatever. So you feel a responsibility.
I feel responsible somehow, and I am very drawn to issues that are related to human rights, that are related to social justice. I feel very compelled by stories of people that don't have a voice or they have no opportunity to tell their stories. And I feel that somehow I can help them because I have the medium to do that. And I can tell their stories and maybe raise awareness and make a difference. And it became, I became very passionate about it. And I, yes, I wonder, and my family does too, you know, why do I keep on doing these very difficult films that are so difficult emotionally for me? And I become very invested and I try to detach myself from the story so I can have a normal life, whatever normal is. Right. And it's very difficult because I care. And that's shown on the screen, I think. That's part of, I don't know, I think that all of us have a mission in life, and maybe this has been my mission. I'm not certain. I haven't discovered why do I keep on doing these kind of films. And with connecting the dots, honestly, I wasn't ready to do such a difficult topic. I had dealt with films about domestic violence and gay rights and child traffic, and I was at a time that I thought, well, I'm going to tell nice stories. Maybe I'll do an art film. Maybe I'll do something that is lighter. And then when I started reading about the statistics happening with young people and reading about what they were going through, I felt very compelled. And I thought, well, I have the opportunity to tell their stories. And I told them from the very beginning, this is your story. I'm just going to do my best to represent you the best way possible. But It's my responsibility to be able to listen to you and bring your stories to life in a way that together we can make a difference. And I think that that's what made them feel really empowered. There is something very special about documentaries of this kind, and there's a healing process while making the film.
Mm.
And that's very rewarding for me because I can see that already we are making a difference even just by talking, even just by listening, that these young people, no matter where they were in the world, they knew that someone at the other end was paying attention to them.
Is it, Naomi, you know, it's one of those, you know, when you you don't really get into statistics in the film and, you know, with a lot of text slides and so on, but it can feel overwhelming, right? When you mm-hmm. look at the numbers. And what I think many of the things I love about your film, by the way, is how rooted in the personal it is, how rooted it is in these young men and women's stories. And this is and even though, you know, we get to see it on sort of an Instagram frame shot, which I thought was wonderful too, by the way, the almost an impersonal approach, we get a sort of a bird's eye view of what's going on. And it's then, it seems to me, that we almost become responsible ourselves, right? It's such a huge issue. We can't, you know, take on suicide prevention at a national level, but boy, we can do something about it in our own communities, right? Absolutely. Or in our own families, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's part of the message, because as I took the responsibility to immerse myself for 3 years in making the film, I am hoping that people like you and society at large will join me in this effort. I am not alone either, and I'm hoping I'm not alone. So having this conversation is reassuring, because now that the film is completed, I can't be on my own. This is what I offer right now. I have created a tool for many to start talking about it and hopefully bring changes, but most importantly, to bring the film to their communities and start the conversation and see what we can do together, because that's what it's going to make a difference. If we live in a society where the system has worked in a way for so many decades and we are facing these issues right now, I think we have to start at root level. And it's a lot more work to do that, but it's the only way to do it. And I think that by going into the roots of the problem and going into the roots of community, which community starts with a family, that's the first community that we have, then together we can hopefully make the changes that these kids need, which are going to not just be for them, the young generation only, because I think that the moment the young people are going to feel better, the adults that support them are going to feel better. So it's a domino effect.
Absolutely. How did you become aware of Nathan? I mean, he's a core part of this film. He is kind of the protagonist, I suppose, who is connecting some of the dots for us. And I love how he, near the end of the film, you know, he finally says, you know, people really do change the world. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was wonderful that eventually, you know, here he is up at the front speaking to these auditoriums full of kids who can clearly understand him and are empathizing, and he's empathizing with their story. Can you tell us how did he come into the picture and why Nathan?
I was doing research one night, very late at night, and I don't remember exactly what I was looking for that night, that I was still on the computer doing research, and I came across him and his website, and I thought, wow, I need to meet this person. He's got such a way of talking to young people that I need to know more about it, about him. And I got in touch, and we had a wonderful conversation. And I felt that he not only understood the young people, that he understood what I was trying to achieve with the film.
Right.
So that was very important. We had a common language, and I thought, well, he's my voice in the film in many ways. He can represent what I'm trying to bring forward, which is going out to the world and finding out from young people what their problem is. And he was very keen on doing that. And that's how it all started. And then we worked together for a long time during the research time. And then we traveled together and we discussed the topic at length, and we saw eye to eye, really, what needed to happen. So he's not only bringing his own lived experience, but I think he has a way of understanding and communicating and listening that the kids are very receptive to him.
Is his organization called For Your Life Speaks? Is
yes.
that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's Nathan Harmon, by the way, if folks want to, well, I'm hoping people will not only listen to our interview and do some research, but I hope they're going to catch the film as well. It's yourlifespeaks.org, by the way, is Nathan's website. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's amazing to me how, you know, I guess how you were connecting the dots, you know, up late at night. And I mean, is that kind of what you're implying in the title, that if we step into this, some of it's going to start to make more sense?
Yes, I think connecting the dots, you know, it's a name that you never know what name you're going to call the film, but connecting the dots was for me since the very inception of the film. I thought I need to connect everybody. I need to connect the voices. I need to connect people. I need to connect emotions. And then it became connecting the dots. And I think right now that we are bringing the film to the world is, let's even connect further. Let's bring everybody together. Unless we have connectivity, although we are living in a world of connectivity, it's very strange to believe that these people are the loneliest generation.
Mm.
That adults as well. I mean,
yes, for sure.
So I think that we need to become closer. We need to become closer to be able to connect everybody in a way that it's meaningful. And I think that's what the problem has been in the last number of years, is that the connections were not meaningful enough. And I think that we are human beings that need affection, that need the human relationships. And unless we have meaningful conversations and meaningful connections, we are going to be suffering because we long for that. It's part of the human nature that we need to be in touch with other people.
Do you, it comes out in the film again, and it comes out in some of the individual stories, but would you say, and blame may be the wrong word, but what kind of, Oh, I guess responsibility do you think that social media has with respect to where young, where, not just young people, all of us, frankly, are, you know, staring into screens, and we're doing it for different reasons, of course. But you know, on one hand, it sounds like it's very much the culprit. But on another hand, it actually sounds like maybe it actually could help change the situation as well. There are ways to connect, right, through your device, et cetera. But maybe this isn't just about connection, right? Maybe it's, like you said, maybe it's, you know, community starts in the family. It's about relationship. It's about trust, et cetera.
I think that social media has a lot to do with it. But I think that we need to be conscious about how to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
And if we compare, you know, the Industrial Revolution, when it all started, or even when, you know, cars were in the street, there were no stop signs, there was no red lights, there was no seatbelt. There were a lot of things that we did not have, and there were a lot of accidents. And I think that it's safe to say that social media, in a way, is the same. We have come into this world that we embraced, all of us, because it's so fascinating that we can connect with people from the other side of the world and be in conversations. We can have this chat right now and be at a distance. But there hasn't been any education on how to use it properly. And it's now starting. We are seeing that more and more. I think that parents have to be more cautious and learn themselves what's the best way to use it, and be conscious about how they teach their kids, how to be responsible. I think that conversation needs to be at the forefront. And there are specialists that talk about this, and they have studied it, and they are helping a lot of people through counseling. But I think I strongly believe in prevention. And I think that all my films are about preventing before it is too late.
Well, and the only way we can prevent is by becoming aware, by understanding, by listening, by stepping into the issue a little bit more. And then I think that's what's so brilliant about films like this. And I always, you know, when I end these types of interviews, how do we get more people, you know, to see this, to step into it and actually, you know, to Nathan's point, you know, change the world.
Yes, we all want to change the world, right? And it would be wonderful. We are having a virtual community screening, which is global, on November 19th, and it's a free screening. We are inviting everybody, and if you can post the link to register, by all means, everybody's welcome. We have almost 700 people registered already from everywhere in the world that you can imagine, which is really wonderful.
It's amazing.
We continue to invite people to join us. And then the big invitation really is that once they watch the film, which will be followed by a youth-led panel roundtable, a lot of them participants of the film themselves, that they join us in bringing the film to their community, that they will actually realize the possibility of using the film as a tool. Films can make a difference. I have proven that with my films, Milk, particularly my last film, which was brought into many, many, many communities around the world, and implementation of changes happen as a result of that. So we can prove that. So my invitation is to everybody right now, come and have a taste, see what it's all about, join us in the conversation, and then take action.
Take action. Is there a impact campaign that you are planning on or already in the stage? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, we are very strong about creating impact with a film of this nature, and with all my films, I have done similar campaigns. In this one particular, we have a good group of in marketing and in impact as well, and PR, and we are all together working. But also, I was fortunate enough to have the support from organizations that came to support the activities that we envision and that we plan strategically on how do we launch a film in a world of COVID when we cannot go to the theaters. And this had actually has been a way of bringing the world together. And that's the invitation to everybody. So we are hoping that people are going to license the film, bring it to their communities, and in whatever setting it is, it, you know, it could be that they are working on with peer-to-peer support, young people to young people, training, educators, parents, and so on and so forth. I think it's everybody's conversation.
It really is everybody's conversation. And I you know, sadly, we're going to have to wrap up in a few minutes. And again, it's one of those conversations that, you know, you feel like you're just getting started and there's so much more to talk about. But there's a moment, there's so many moments in the film that stand out for me. But there's a young man who's talking about somebody who came alongside of him, maybe a teacher, some kind of a mentor, and handed him a brown book and said, write. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, and he kind of lights up and says, you know, and that led to me writing, and I'm still writing, and I'm a spoken word artist now today, and ultimately found a way. And as some other young woman in the film says, turned his pain into something beautiful. Yeah. And isn't that sort of the call to action? How to do that when you're surrounded by pain, or you're living with this kind of pain and this kind of emotional trauma? How do you get there? And sometimes all it takes is for somebody to step in.
Exactly. And it takes one person. Mm. It takes one so person to bring that sunshine in, to spark and to see the, you know, that this young person could actually express his or her emotions in a certain way. And if it's art, let it be art. If it's just community, then bring that person into a community and help them to be more resilient by knowing that they are not alone. There's very many ways. And I think that it starts from a conversation. It starts from allowing people to express their emotions freely. That was one of the things that I told the young people all the time while we were working. You know, this is a film where there's no stigma. We are breaking the stigma. Right. You are completely free to express your emotion. Don't ever feel that you need to think twice what you want to say. Say it nicely. Try not to hurt anyone. That's important. Let's be skillful in the language that we use, but let's not put a barrier to filter our own emotions, because so that's good. The problem.
No, it's a fantastic, I think it's a beautiful way to wrap up our conversation today. And I love how you end the film with, I think it's four, unless I missed one, not alone, your voice matters.
Exactly.
Break the silence and reach out. Wow, what a wonderful film. And again, congratulations. It's an important, it's one of those films that's not only a must see, it's a game changer, really. And in parts hard to watch and to say, I found myself sometimes thinking it can't be this bad. You know, mm-hmm. I just didn't, it was almost, and I'm somebody who's been, you know, working in international development for years and concerned about social justice issues and so on, and hard to watch because I didn't want to believe, wow, is it, you know, seeing that one young boy talking about anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And I kind of smiled and said, you should be hanging out with your friends, right, and playing with, you know, models and Lego and exactly. You know what I mean? What's going on?
And when you see all the hands raising up and every one of them,
powerful moment.
That's very powerful. And now, by the way, our hashtag is raise your hand.
Yes, thank you.
And we invite everybody to raise their hand and join us and tell us what needs to change. How are they going to contribute? How are they going to join us in the conversation? What action are they going to take? How are they going to support the beginning of this conversation? Because really the film is just the beginning.
One of the most powerful images for me was the drone, I'm going to say the aerial shot, the drone shot of the school buses coming in. I'm so glad you put that into the film. It's an image that will stick with me for a long, long time. And I think it's just this punctuation mark on how severe and how much of a global issue this really, really is. And this is so many messages in that metaphor. It's really quite wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think to the global end, one of my tasks as well was to show that this is not a problem that is happening in North America. It's not a problem just Canada. It's not a problem to one community or the other. The stories are really the same no matter where we are. It doesn't matter the color that you are. It doesn't matter the language you speak or the socioeconomic background that you come from. This problem is really unified by kids from around the world feeling pretty much the same. So it's a call to action for everybody around us and to look at the universality of the problem and say, there's something we haven't done that good. There's something that needs to change. And how do we collectively do something about it?
It's beautiful and it's wonderful. We've been talking to Noemi Weiss about her new film, Connecting the Dots. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it here. And if you've enjoyed this, please do like Face to Face on social media. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Leave us a review at iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Noemi, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it talking about your new film, Connecting the Dots.
Thank you so much for having me. And I invite everybody to join us in all our social media platforms and to take a look at our website at connectingthedotsfilm.com. And from there, they can join us everywhere.
# raise your hand.
Exactly. Raise your hand. Thank you so much.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.